Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 140 of Nerd Pride Radio. 140, the maximum number of characters in a Twitter post, and the age of the biblical figure Job at his death. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How are you doing?
I'm awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's probably like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be you. Are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Our sponsor this week, Jackrabbit Slims. All right, before anything else, I don't know, is this meta talk?
Oppenheimer!
Maybe. Normally, meta talk is for me to talk more about the website and the podcast and kind of open the kimono a little bit. But in this particular case, it's just I'm a little early this week, and it's going to be a short episode this week. And the reason is, I'm going on vacation. It's going to be a short vacation. We're just doing a weekend. We're going to do Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and we're going to go out to Western Nebraska, where, surprisingly, after living for, more than half my life in Nebraska, never been out there. Never seen Chimney Rock, never seen Scott's Bluff, never, and these are places in Nebraska for those of you who are not familiar. There's actually things in Nebraska to see, I promise you. So we're going to go to Fort Robinson and we're going to stay there. And there's all sorts of cool activities to do in the area. We're going to see the Nebraska National Forest, the largest man-made forest. It was the largest man-made forest in the world for a while. But now it's been supplanted, but that's okay. That's okay. It's still pretty cool. That's what we're going to be doing, and that's why I'm early this week, and that's why we're going to do this kind of short. So I don't have a whole lot for you, but I didn't want to leave you guys hanging completely. So let's get straight into it, the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list in my handy-dandy, miniature composition notebook now. But anyway, the best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. All right, and straight in the master list, the only thing I have this week, there's other stuff on the master list, but the only thing I'm going to talk about this week is the role-playing game I played with my son Eli and his friends for Eli's birthday last weekend. I told you guys this was coming up. Eli had specifically requested that we play a zombie game using Pathfinder rules. And I wound up giving them a zombie game, but not so much Pathfinder. It started that way, but as I kind of adapted the rules, trying to figure out how do you make a zombie game work, because, you know, in a zombie world, you get scratched once, you get bit once, you're pretty much dead. And that isn't real conducive to the way combat and damage works in Pathfinder. So I had to kind of modify a little bit. But I am telling you, we had the best time. It was golden. I could not have asked for a better experience. I mean, this is, you know, four 12 and 13-year-olds, and Eli has done role-playing games plenty of times in the past, and his friend Zach has played with us one time, and it was a couple years ago, and he just, I don't think he got it. He was kind of miserable. He kind of halfway through, it was like, I'm bored. Can we do something else? So that was all of the experience that this group had. The other two have never played before at all. And we get into it, and immediately you can see all of them are firing on all cylinders right from the beginning. It's a zombie game, and they wanted to play teenagers. So they wanted to be They're all 12 and 13. They wanted to play 15-year-olds. So, okay, cool. They're playing high school freshmen. And so I decided I would start them off at school in detention when the zombie outbreak occurs. That seems like a pretty cool starting place. And so I'm like, okay, you guys are all generally good kids, so what are you in detention for? And we worked out that they were all in detention for screwing around during drama, and while screwing around, they wound up accidentally pulling down the curtain, and they broke a bunch of stuff, and now they're all in detention for it. So I give them that premise, and they sit down. I don't have to do a thing as the game master. I sat back, and they just started role-playing. They sat there arguing with each other over whose fault it was. Yeah, well, you were the one that decided to pull out the swords. Yeah, well, I wasn't the one jumping up on the scenery. And then, I mean, they just went after it. It was awesome. We had so much fun. And they were doing all this strategic planning. And finally, one of the kids, the one who, other than Eli, was probably more into the game than anybody. I mean, he was all over this. You could just see the fire in his eyes. And he finally goes, you know, we took a short break for 5 minutes. Everyone went and grabbed drinks and took a potty break and this kind of stuff. And while we were taking that quick break, I can hear him talking to Eli and saying, when you said RPG, I thought like a video game RPG. I thought like we'd be grinding for gold and we'd have to keep upgrading weapons and we'd have to, this isn't anything like that. And he was so excited. He's like, we can just do whatever we want. I'm like, yeah, that's the purpose. Isn't that awesome? Let me go to my website and pull up the actual page for it because I wrote down a bunch of this stuff. So those of you who've been on the website and you've already read my thread, this is all going to be rehashed, but hang on a second. The game was an awesome playtest. I have had a lot of gaming ideas that I haven't had a chance to really, really put onto the road. And this was my chance to do a lot of it. I wanted them to be able to create their own characters, but I didn't want the first 2 hours of our gaming session to be everybody creating characters, learning how the rules work, blah, blah, blah. And so I did little cardboard cutouts of all the different skills and abilities that they could possibly have in this game. And then I put, you know, all the abilities, your natural inherent stats, your strength, dexterity, that kind of stuff, except they had more colorful names. But I made a pile of those on one side of the table, and then I made a pile of skills on the other side of the table. And the stats, I had some repeats in there, so if this guy wanted to be really strong and the other guy wanted to be really strong, then they could both do that. Or I think two of them were clever or something like that. But then on the other side with the skills, I didn't have any repeats. So I just made big piles of them, and I said, okay, each of you, you get 3 stats over here, and you get 4 skills over here. Pick whatever you think works best for your character. They can be useful, not useful. I don't care. You pick whatever you want. And so they did. And they sorted out and they cooperated to kind of help each other balance things. And within 15 minutes, we had all the character stuff done. They all knew who they were. They had their abilities laid out on the table for them. And then I gave them each 3 blank cards and just said, hey, these are 3 blanks. I said, anytime you try and do anything in this game, if you have a card in front of you that applies to that, you just set it forward. I'll give you a +2 for whatever card you have that applies to this task. And I said, but if you want, you got your blank ones. If you want to just give me the blank card, you can take a +2 for no good reason, but I get to keep the card. And they all got that concept. It was no problem. The rules were done. That was it. And then we moved forward. And they were awesome. Every single thing that they tried to do, immediately they had their little cards in front of them, and they're all looking through their cards, mixing and matching. I kind of allowed that, okay, well, if you want to give an assist to somebody, you know, if you have something that's appropriate and there's some way you can help them, okay, you put your card out there, we'll give you a +1 for that, sure. And it encouraged the kind of play I wanted. Everything moved super fast. They had all their stuff right there at their fingertips. It was really cool. And this is a concept that I didn't even realize as I was putting it together for them. I was doing it just for this game. But I've told you guys about the Boy Scout game I played years ago with Jacob. Hi, Jacob.
Hi.
See, Jacob's even here. I played Terror at Camp Pinewood. It was a Boy Scout horror game. And since that game, I've been I've been trying to develop that a little further, and I've come up with the same kind of idea of having cards to represent, you know, you actually have merit badges sitting in front of you that represent your different skills. You have cards for different stuff. And so as I was designing it for the zombie game, oh, which, by the way, the zombie game is now entitled Mostly Dead. That's the official name of this game. And as I'm designing the rules for Mostly Dead, it took me a while to realize that, oh, I'm just completely reworking exactly what I wanted to do for Terror at Camp Pinewood. Oh, okay, same concept, no problem. Once I figured that out, I pulled out my Terror at Camp Pinewood rules and just started copying things over and adapting them where they needed to be. It was absolutely wonderful. And you know, there's a lot of things, like I say, a lot of things I learned from this. Next time we'll introduce a little more variance in the cards, a little more complicated ways of using them. So it'll be, because right this time I was just kind of, I was a generous GM. I was giving them all sorts of opportunities. Anything they wanted to try, I would give them a shot at accomplishing it, no matter how far-fetched it was. You know what? You want to do it? We'll give you a chance. Let's go. Next time, you know, I'm going to tighten that up a little bit, actually have a little stricter rules. I need bigger dice, but that's the dice aren't really that important. I was using 2d6, and I think next time I'll use 2 12-sided dice. But again, that's irrelevant. But also what I found out is that, because I want them to roll dice for everything. I don't like having to roll any dice myself. I would rather any time anything comes up, even if it's a bad guy attacking them, I want them to roll the dice. That way they're always rolling, and if they get a high number, something good happens for them. If they get a low number, something bad happens for them. That's all that matters. And so I'd set it where, you know, in the middle of the range of the dice, I would say, okay, here's the middle. If you get anything above that, then it's good. Anything below that, it's bad. And thus, okay, you guys are trying to do something. You have all your bonuses. Well, now I have to lay out penalties. And I had little penalty cards I brought with me. And I have to lay out penalties to represent the difficulty of this task. That, oh, okay, well, you're trying to hit that from all the way across the room. All right, well, I'm going to give you 3 penalty cards because that's a really tough shot to make. And I discovered that I don't like giving penalty cards. I don't like handing out minuses to them. And so next time we play, well, the answer is I just make the target number a lot higher. And then that way, if it's an easy task, I can hand out bonuses, and I look like the good guy. It's the same concept. I just move the numbers a little bit so that so I don't have to look so bad. But like I say, the thing just worked so well. It was so surprising, and I was kind of trying to shift the location of the game so it wasn't exactly them in their town with their families and people they know, but they kind of kept bringing it back to that they were using their own names for their characters. When they went to go check on their families, they were looking at their own houses for their own families. So, okay, I'll play along with that. And, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that happened. A lot. I don't want to bore you guys with too many details. No, you go ahead. The door's fine. Go ahead. You just go quickly so you don't drag it out. That's, oh my God, Aiden's a pain in my ass. Okay. God darn it, Jacob. They're ganging up on me now. So anyway, they went to go check on their families, and like I say, I don't want to bore you with too many battle stories from this game, but I'll give you a couple of quick things. They went to one kid's house, and I wanted to add make it a little bit real for them that, you know, they went to the first kid's house and his mom's not there, her car's gone, they don't know where she went, they assume, you know, maybe she's somewhere safe. She's probably still alive. I didn't want to break it to the kid. But no, his mom's dead. She went out looking for him because that's exactly what she would do, is she would immediately, oh my God, there's a disaster going on. I need to go find my child. And so she was dead. I never told him that because I think it would have broken his heart, but she was missing and that was hard enough for him. But then we went to the next kid's house because his dad has a crossbow in the basement. And hold on a second. Hold on. Okay. My adult sons know I'm trying to record, and I'm being very tolerant of the noise. And so the two of them, my two adult children, are now across the room pretending to hump each other just to distract me. And I'm ignoring them. I ignored them for the last 2 minutes of the podcast. I've been ignoring them really well, and I finally realized they're not going to give up until I acknowledge them. Which is exactly what has happened. And now they can't stop laughing like hyenas. So that was, if I sounded a little distracted, I might have been. So anyway, we go to the next kid's house. He wanted to get his dad's crossbow. Also wanted to check on his family. His parents are also gone. The front door is wide open. Windows are broken. Things are smashed up. And he can't find his parents anywhere. And so then I wanted to give him this moment of reality here. And as he's downstairs in the basement, and there's one of the other kids is standing lookout at the bottom of the stairs, upstairs from the second floor, his sister is up there. And she's obviously been attacked. She's only half of a sister now, and her zombified half of a body is dragging itself across the floor by one arm. And I figured this would be really tragic, and that, you know, I was expecting something, a touching moment here. And instead, it's like, he's like, dude, your sister's dead. He's like, yeah, whatever. She deserves it. Like, what? Really? That's cold. That is so cold. And so finally the sister dragged herself over the top of the steps and then thump, 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 thump. She rolls down to the bottom and they just stepped over to get out the door. It's like, wow, that was not what I expected to happen. Had I realized he would be that callous about it, I wouldn't have introduced her to the game, but I had to try. So that was fascinating. The other one that I loved, and this was a great moment of realization for the one friend who was just so into this. There was a cop who had come in, and the cop is clearly in a panic, and she is being mean, and she's threatening people, and she's got her gun out half the time. And so they realized that she was dangerous, and they needed to do something about her. And so they decide, she's up there looking out the windows and looking to see if the zombies are coming, whatever. And so the one kid decides he's going to sneak up behind her. He has a knife. He's going to sneak up behind her, threaten her, and take her gun. That's his plan. 15-year-old kid going to threaten a cop with a knife. And so he sneaks up behind her. He gets up close. He goes for his dice, and he gets a great roll, an awesome roll. And she turns around, puts a foot out, and lays him out. I mean, just knocks him across the floor. And I mean, it was great because the roles all came out perfectly, that it did exactly what I wanted, that he did well. And guess what? Not good enough. And he's like, what? Wait a minute. But I rolled like an 18. How could that happen? And I said, well, A, you're a 15-year-old kid and she's a trained police officer. And B, I told you the windows were reflective. She was watching you the entire time, you moron. And he's like, oh, I knew that. Oh, darn it. And so it was a great little instructional moment for them. And you know, I had this little bit of triumph because I got to show them up and put them in an even more harrowing situation. And it was really cool. And then of course they wound up resolving the situation because by then they had all of them ganging up and they got some more lucky rolls and things went really well for them. And ultimately they had her disarmed. They didn't kill her. They didn't hurt her. They just had her disarmed and kept her somewhere safe. But it was just spectacular. Last handy hint for any zombie game. If you're a GM and you're ever at a loss for anything to do, suddenly they hear gunshots or, hey, windows just broke, or, I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you don't know what to do next, a zombie comes falling into the room and all of a sudden it's chaos again. And at one point we had, I mean, the cop was handcuffed to the radiator and had become zombified now. They've got another zombie that's locked in a closet somewhere trying to get out. They've got zombies beating on the front door. They've got people coming in. I mean, it was just all this stuff kept happening at once. And the more stuff that got piled onto them, I mean, that you could just see the adrenaline working. And anyway, it was a great game, a great game. And ultimately, they got to the end and they blew up the evil research lab where all of this had started. And they've solved something, but they don't know what exactly. It kind of left on a nice, unsatisfying zombie movie, unresolved ending. So that they've accomplished something. They feel like they did something. And yet, everything's still wide open for a sequel so that we can come back at any time and try this again. And it was a blast. It was an absolute blast. 6 hours, beginning to end. And I have rarely in my life had a session run so perfectly. I was so proud of them. So happy. I mean, like I say, it just couldn't have turned out better. So, I probably have more commentary on that, but I've gotten a little jumbled. You know what? What else is there for my gaming table? Did I even do gaming table music? I don't think I did. I don't think it matters. There's also my paranoia game is running really well. I think that we've just finally kicked into some action for everybody. And I think there's a couple of players who have dropped out, and I don't know if it's because I bored them or if they just happened to, if their schedules were busy, or I don't know what happened, but I think there's a couple people who might drop out. They're still playing, but not, it's just not working quite well for them. But that still leaves 10 of them who are doing awesome. So, I am just thrilled. And I, again, like I told you when I first brought up Paranoia, I wish I could tell you what's going on, but I can't. But let's just say that also, for the first time in Paranoia, I am rolling lots of dice. I told you guys I was going to try to actually roll dice. So as we're playing this game of Paranoia, which again, for those of you who are coming in a little bit late, Paranoia is a role-playing game, a storytelling game that is science fiction, and it is based on humor, humor and paranoia and fear. And hold on a second. Okay, I don't know if you guys could hear any of that, but they've now decided that they're not getting a rise out of me. They've kept trying, and now instead of me, they've now gone in and they're bothering my wife. And I don't think she likes it any more than I did. But they're brothers having fun together, and it's so nice to see them bond like this, right? Anyway, Paranoia is a role-playing game set in a future where everyone lives in an enclosed complex. It's all very sci-fi, and everything's run by a deranged computer. And so everyone is involved in something underhanded. Everyone is plotting against everybody else. People die constantly in this game, and generally in very, very funny ways. And I've played this game by email many times and always had a blast at it. And in the past, I've always told my players that I roll dice. Whenever they take actions, I roll dice to see if they do well or not. But I usually haven't ever in the past. I just tell them I do. But this time, I actually am. This time, and it's actually really convenient because I've got my spinner ring. So for those of you who've never seen it, here, I'll hold it up to the microphone. I have a blue and silver ring that has a spinner on it. And so when I rotate my ring, it comes up with a number from 1 to 20. I have a die 20. I have dice right here on my finger. It's perfect. And so in this particular game, like just the last move that we did, I actually had to roll like 8 times to get everything resolved. I've never done that before. And what I found is something I've always said about dice, and yet I sometimes kind of forget, is that I really like the random element thrown in. They tell me what they want to do. I roll to see if they, you know, if they do well at what they're attempting or if they do poorly at what they're attempting. And then if there's multiple rolls all in the same place, then okay, well, he's trying to do this and he did really well at it. She's trying to do this and she did even better at her roll. Okay, how do those two things mesh in the story? And again, I wish I could give you specific examples, but the randomness of it means the story gets to go in directions that I couldn't have predicted. Like this guy has a really great idea, and then I roll the dice and he fails spectacularly. It's like, oh, I would not have done that. I would, if it was just me just making stuff up, I would have let him accomplish it because his success would be really funny here. But then it turns out that him failing was even funnier. So, you know what, in past Paranoia games, I haven't trusted that randomness. And I think, really, it was my brother Kyle. When he was running his forum games, he was doing some role-playing storytelling games on our forums, and he would have people roll, and then he would just go with whatever their role was. And watching him do that reminded me that, oh yeah, even when I do Paranoia by email, I could still do that. We can still have those roles in there, and that randomness adds just a different twist factor. It's really kind of cool. So anyway, I'm having fun with Paranoia. It is going to be a long one, so it will be a long time before I can actually give you any details of this game, but who cares? We'll get to all of it eventually. And we're having a great time doing it. So, all right, that is enough for my gaming table. We are completely done with the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. And that means it's time for the Pod-O-Matic! Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring on R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Then you send your question or topic to me by email or in a text message if you have my phone number, or on Facebook or Twitter, although I probably won't notice it on Twitter right away.
In some way.
You could just talk to me in person and hand them to me on post-it notes. But really, the very best way to get them to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds and send them to me in a private message, because that's the way I get them the easiest. And I will add them to my Podomatic list. Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. Did you hear the thundering herd of elephants? That was Aiden running in because he heard me yell Podomatic. Sadly, dude, we're only doing one question.
What?
Because, well, it's midnight, and we've got to be up at 5 in the morning. Well, I have to be up at 5 in the morning. You're not going anywhere.
Well, okay, hold up. That's not fair to say. I've got place to be just like you've got place to be.
Yeah, you don't.
Well,
you don't. Yeah, you're whatever.
I'm hanging out with friends.
He's an adult now, and so he's decided he's not going on vacation with us, and instead, he's hanging out with friends.
Friends I don't usually get to see.
That's great, and that's more important than your family. I completely understand. So anyway, because we have to get up early, we're only going to do one Podomatic, and the first one, well, the only one, is number 20. It's from Kaz. And Kaz says, back when Animal Ball was a thing, we all collaborated on Instant Game. What kind of download stats do you have on Instant Game now? I just looked at these the other day, and I can't remember exactly, but it is thousands. Instant Game is the single most downloaded item from the Nerd Pride Radio website, and it is in the thousands. Last time I looked, I think it was up to, like, you know, 5,000 downloads, something like that. Whereas, you know, my average podcast after the first, you know, 2 or 3 weeks has 100 downloads. And then eventually they get up even higher than that. But Instant Game is consistently, a real winner. I think, cause I think there's links to it from other sites. I think there are gaming sites and, sites that have lists of free games available and this kind of stuff. And I think they link to me. And therefore we get really good downloads on Instant Game. So, for those of you who aren't familiar with Instant Game, it is a, role-playing game, that my brother and I, my brother Kyle and I wrote, years ago, with the assistance of many people on the Animal Ball forums back when we were running Animal Ball. And the whole point of Instant Game is you sit down with a group of friends, and in about 30 minutes, you make a bunch of rolls on the random tables from inside the book, and in about 30 minutes, you will have a brand new setting, an entire role-playing game world that's never been dreamt of before. That we have all sorts of elements and you have to mash them together to make a world that works. And then from that, it gives you the tools to roll up a plot and some rules for building simple characters to go into your game. And like I say, within 30 minutes, you can be playing a game. And we've done it many times. Love playing Instant Game. It is a lot of fun. I think if I were to pull out Instant Game right now, because I haven't played it in a couple of years, if I were to pull out Instant Game now, I may change up the character creation rules to work more like I just did with Mostly Dead. Like I say, I guess it's not so easy to have the cards like that. But, well, I guess the rules are actually fairly close to that. I mean, it's Instant Game is really, you just write down, you know, several attributes and skills, and it's pretty close. Man, I'm pretty consistent in my game design now that I think about it. Once I analyze the stuff, but I think I would clarify it a little bit from what I have, and I'd nail down the dice a little better. And there's some things I'd do to tighten up the mechanical portion of Instant Game, but the tables, the setup, all of that is still totally awesome. I absolutely love that game. So, you know, if you're interested, go to nerdprideradio.com and click on the free games button right there on the front page. And Instant Game is the very top thing there. It's absolutely free. Go enjoy it. It's really, really cool. Even if you don't play it, it's fun read. I mean, Well, okay. What do I know? I love to read my own stuff because I'm an egomaniac that way. So, anyway, that is the end of the
38.
38. Okay. We'll do one more. 38 comes from, I think Aiden's looking for a question he can answer. So 38 comes from Mrs. Darks, which is not a surprise because she has sent me 70 new ones. So, really, there should be a lot of Mrs. Darks in here. It says, if you are listening to an educational talk or lecture, do you prefer if people are asking questions throughout or wait until the end?
Asking questions throughout on my part, because if I'm not clear on a certain part, it's best that we clarify that now, except, you know, half an hour down the road.
That's reasonable. I suppose, because I was thinking more in the terms of, you know, like your TED Talk kind of thing where they have a very set presentation. And so I was kind of, that's how I pictured it is, you know, they have a set presentation. And then if you're going to ask questions throughout, you've kind of thrown off their rhythm and it changes things up a little bit. But I get that. And you know what? Something that's a little more interactive and to be able to have a presenter who has the skill to work with that and be able to take questions as they go and still make a presentation that is fun and entertaining and educational all at the same time, that would be pretty cool. That would be an ideal one, is where you have that freedom to interact and be a part of it, and yet still get that full presentation effect. You know what I mean? All the information still comes at you and still, you know what? I was going to answer the other way, but I'll agree with Aiden now. If the presenter has the skill to do it, then yes, taking questions throughout sounds awesome. So I'm up for that. Nope. You know what? I'm not going to do that one. I was going to do a clarification to one from last week, but I don't think I'm going to bother with that. All right. Anyway, that is the end of the Nerd Pride Radio Pod.
71.
You think I don't see you there? All right. I'm taking it away from you now. 71 is from. Yeah, you think you're funny.
I am funny.
Yeah. All right. Oh, it's from Master. Hey, Master. And Master says, list your top 5 vacation spots.
Woof.
I don't know.
Top 1 for me is Ireland.
Ireland? Okay, so this is a wish list for you?
I mean, do you want to debate the statistics of the question right now?
No. I'm just saying, if that's how you're addressing it, that's fine. That's your choice.
Then yeah, like, because, I mean, like, we've only regularly vacationed to one place, and that's Texas.
No, that's, well, regularly, but we've been to Texas plenty of times, but we've also been to the Black Hills
three or four
times. And the Black Hills aren't bad, and Yellowstone was a killer vacation. That was awesome. We loved being in Yellowstone. We had a great time there. We're hoping that we're going to have a good time here in Fort Robinson out in western Nebraska this weekend. Custer State Park was phenomenal. We had such a good time in Custer State Park.
I don't remember any of this.
You don't remember Custer? Did you go with us to Custer, or did you have a job? You had a job? Oh, man, you missed out. Custer was great. You know what? I should go back and play the episode for you that followed our Custer visit, and you can listen to it and hear how awesome it was without you.
Yeah, but that would require me to download your podcast, and nobody's got time for that.
Oh, man. Really? You know who does have time for that? Aaron. Aaron has time for that.
I'm not Aaron.
I know, and she's not even my actual child.
Aaron loves you.
She loves me way more than you do. So, but if I had a wish list of places to vacation, I have no idea. I mean, yeah, Ireland sounds awesome. I mean, that's really pretty cool. In fact, Lisa just pulled up some pictures and said, you know, I've never, you know, she said, I've always wanted to go to Ireland, but it's never been that exciting or high on my list. But here, look at these pictures. And it's looking out over the cliffs. And it was, just gorgeous, gorgeous. I would love doing that. But I would also, I would love being able to go to Rome and do anything that involved going underneath the city. That would be super cool. I guess I can't rank them. Hogwarts. Not like the amusement park Hogwarts, but like the real place. That would be pretty cool. If I could be in the actual other fictional settings. Most fictional settings are way too dangerous. That's the problem. I think we've discussed this before.
What about the Enterprise?
Oh, the Enterprise. Okay, no, you know what? I could spend a week on the Enterprise when they're between dangerous away team missions where people get killed.
As long as Khan's not shooting at them.
But that would be, oh man, wouldn't that be awesome? Oh God, that's so cool.
And look, a week wouldn't even be enough to explore the entire ship.
Right, well, I wouldn't have to explore the entire ship. Look, I want to go up to the bridge and sit in the captain's chair when he's not looking. I want to go to this. Oh, and this would be Picard's Enterprise. This would be the 1701. What are we up to now? G, Q. How far did the letters go? It would be a more modern Enterprise, and modern. They're all in the future. And like I said, I get to sit in the captain's chair. I'd get to take the comm. I'd get to pretend I'm firing weapons, but I wouldn't actually fire any weapons from the Enterprise. That would be really dangerous, but I would pretend to, and it would be super cool. And I'd go to 10 forward, and I'd have drinks, and I'd put up with Whoopi Goldberg, I guess. But oh, play with the transporter. I mean, come on, just beam me around the ship. Just beam me back to my stateroom. That's all I want. That would be awesome. I would have so much fun. Play with the replica. Oh, the holodeck. I get to go on the holiday. Enterprise, number one vacation spot. I want to be on the Enterprise. Done. There's no other question. Thank you so much. That is the best. Okay, now we are really done with the Podomatic. And that means, no, we're really done. And that means I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode. Take it away, GLaDOS.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and I didn't bother to use any bumper music this week. Let's see. If you want to do something nice for my podcast, recommend it to a friend. Seriously, if you enjoy it, spread the word. Let other people come in and enjoy this as well. We just want to share. That's it. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. So don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal, which is coming up in just a moment. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research, which, okay, my grueling research this week was 30 seconds to go to Wikipedia. But still, grueling. A grueling 30 seconds that was. My contact info, Mike@NerdPrideRadio.com, @NerdPrideRadio on Twitter, Facebook.com/NerdPrideRadio. But to be totally honest, the very best way to talk to me, as I mentioned before many times, come sign up for my forums at NerdPrideRadio.com/nerds. Sign up there. You send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it is time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start recording every week, I go out to Facebook and I go out to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I post up, hey, I'm recording. If you guys want to be part of it, you post here, and I will read it off at the end of the podcast, and that's exactly what I'm doing right now. First, we're going to start off on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and because I started recording at 11:30 on a Friday night, the only person to respond is Cupcake, who happens to be, it's actually Cupcake, because there's an I in the middle of it, who is actually my daughter-in-law-to-be, Erin, whose betrothed is laying here on my couch. And Erin says, hello, hello. I've been learning a lot more about the Marvel Universe, and I've come to realize that there are tons of Marvel heroes and villains I've never even heard of. Who do you think is the most underrated Marvel hero or villain? Oh, that's a great question. Oh man, I think you just caught me out. I was going to pause it so I could think about this. I do that sometimes, and then you guys just think I'm a genius. Aiden started saying Squirrel Girl right before I paused. So, I think I cut him off right in the middle. Squirrel Girl is a pretty good one. I mean, I like Squirrel Girl in general just because, I think her whole point is that she's underrated. That's the intent of her character, is that she's Squirrel Girl. She seems silly on the surface of it, and yet in every comic she winds up defeating or besting people far more powerful than herself, or seemingly far more powerful than herself, through judicious use of her powers, and does really cool stuff as a result. I'm trying to think of who else. Maybe favorites of mine from the past that never did get a whole lot of, like, okay, for example, from the X-Men. Actually, was he from the X-Men? Or was he New Mutants, or was he, I can't remember which one he was in. I think it was X-Men. But anyway, maybe it was New Mutants. Anyway, Multiple Man. Always liked Multiple Man. His entire power is to make copies of himself, which I've always thought was a cool power, and always thought could have been utilized way better than what they did. But I think the problem with Multiple Man is that, he just, I don't know, there wasn't much to him. He was just an ordinary middle-class white guy, and there was nothing angsty about him. Nothing edgy. There was just, you could have made a lot more character out of that character, if you know what I mean. Powers-wise, I don't know if anyone ever explored this, but in the Avengers, there was, in the 80s, there was a Captain Marvel in the Avengers who was, she was black. She was the black Captain Marvel. And, she had powers having to do with light and energy. She could transform herself into various forms of energy. And in doing so, she was virtually unstoppable. She was so amazingly powerful that they started off with this power of, well, she can transform her body into any form of energy. And once they started exploring what the ramifications of that are, it turns out that she's near godlike. And, it was just crazy the things that she could do. When you can transform into energy and fly at light speed, that's essentially teleportation anywhere on Earth. Instantly, that she can, transform into X-rays. She can pass through walls. She just covered the powers of Shadowcat and Nightcrawler from the X-Men, and it's just like a side effect of what she actually does. So, she was stunningly powerful. But again, I don't think she was ever really well developed. I was a big fan of Cloak and Dagger back in the day. And unfortunately, I stopped reading comics somewhere just before 1990. And so therefore, I don't know whatever happened to Cloak and Dagger after they had a short mini series that kind of introduced their characters and set them up as this gritty street level team that would fit really well into the Daredevil Jessica Jones universe on Netflix. And they were really cool, and they had a great story and good connection to each other. And then you'd see them show up every once in a while somewhere else, but they never, at least in the time I was collecting comics, never got real serious development past that initial miniseries, which was too bad. And I assume someone has picked them up at some point in the intervening years, and someone has tried doing something with them. But I haven't seen it myself. So, you know what? After I'm done with this, well, maybe not after I'm done with this, because I need to go to bed, but, maybe next week I'll actually do some research and take a look and find out if there's some stuff on them, because I kind of miss them. All right, anyway, good question, and that was the end of Listener Betrayal from my website, so let's go on out to Facebook and see if anyone noticed that I'm recording. Let's find out. Oh, Nellie did. So, that's all we need is one, right? I got one from the forums, one from Facebook. Nellie says, here, hold on, let me comment and say that we're done, so that I don't wind up missing anybody else when they post in after. So, done. Enter. And Nellie says, what's your favorite movie theater snack and drink? Mine is Maltesers mixed in with my popcorn. Yeah, okay, I can see that. I'm not a fan of throwing candy into my popcorn. I've tried it before. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. My favorite movie theater snack and drink right now is we go in and get two large drinks, large popcorn, and you get larges because there's free refills on them. But two large drinks, large popcorn. Oh, man, I should have paused before I sneezed, but I couldn't stop myself. Sorry about that. Anyway, I do a Coke, not a Diet Coke, just a Coke for my drink, and then the large butter popcorn, and then lately Milk Duds. It used to be Mike and Ike's, and then for a while it was the Chewy Mini Sweet Tarts, and now both of those are way too sweet for me. And so therefore Milk Duds would be an awesome candy if I'm going to have candy. So that's how I usually do the movie. But, you know, with the free refills, this is the Jacob taught us this, and now it seems like lots of people know it. But when Jacob was working in the theater, he's like, no, don't ever buy multiple popcorns. You just get one big bag. You get a large. It's got a free refill on it. And so then we get the big bag, and then they have little courtesy popcorn cups. So we get 5 courtesy popcorn cups. We can go into the theater. We split it all up, divide it out, so everyone's got their own little cup of popcorn. And now, just before the movie starts, hey, look, the bag's empty. So I run up to the front. I get my free refill. And now we have a big bag of popcorn to refill everybody's cups throughout the course of the movie. You can't go wrong with that. Oh, and we only have to pay for one huge overpriced popcorn instead of buying popcorn for everybody. Totally cool. So anyway, that's the end of the podcast. So ran a little longer than I was expecting, but this is about right. So, you know what? It's been a great time. I will let you know all about my vacation next week, and hopefully I will see some of you guys back then. So you guys take care of yourselves. I love you. Good night. Oh, wait. Say good night, Jacob.
Hello.
No, say good night, Jacob.
Oh, good night, Jacob.
Sweet. Say good night, R2. See, now I can go. Take care, guys.